economy. Our record is better than their record. On the size of the economy, we've done better than them. On per capita income, we've done better than them. On job creation, we've done better than them. On economic growth, we've done better than them. They say we went to IMF, but it's not easy to be under an IMF program. Because we've seen them before. When they were under IMF program, by 2016, they missed all the targets. So far, Ghana has become an example. We met all our prior conditions, and the IMF praised us and disbursed $600 million. This economy will grow, and it will grow faster than everybody thinks. By the end of this year, we are supposed to grow at 3.2%. But I can tell you, we'll grow at 5% or even more than 5%. This is because of the pragmatic policies we are implementing as a government. And so don't let anybody talk you down. You should raise your head up, and you know that your government is doing the right thing. We are bringing the economy back.
Well, my colleague Kofi Ajay is with me in the studio. We've been poring over a statement that we've seen in the last couple of hours coming in on this, giving us a bit more clarity on the offer on the table. I mean, this is not over by any stretch of the imagination. As we will detail for you pretty shortly, because government will have to now take this agreement to the individual bondholders to get their buy-in. We'll come to that pretty shortly. But what's the offer on the table?
Right, so Evans, the new agreement in principle, what they call the AIP, will allow investors to choose between two options. Now, option one is what they call the DISCO bonds, meaning discounted bonds at both principal and interest levels. Now, if you choose this option, if you are an investor and choose this option, it means that you are choosing options will have... So if you're an investor who chooses this option, you have access to, this offer. That would mean that you are going to suffer a haircut. Your interest will reduce from 5%, from the original amount. And when you proceed from 2028, you enjoy an interest of, 6%. Maturities will be spread across three instruments ranging between 2026 and 2029. Now, ultimately, this will lead to a haircut or a write down of principal of about 37%. Now, option two is what they call the par bonds, meaning new bonds will be sold at the original face value. Now, however, this option is capped at $1.6 billion with three instruments, of which the main one will pay a coupon of 1.5% and to mature in 2037 with no haircut apart from a write down on the past due interest. So these are the two options available to investors, depending on which one you choose to go with.
And this fundamental question is, so what's in this for Ghana?
So under this new agreement in principle, Evans, international bondholders will forego approximately $4.7 billion of their claims and provide cash flow relief of approximately $4.4 billion during the IMF program period.
Okay, and that is important. Mm. You heard the finance minister talk about a total of $10 billion savings, mm-hmm. $2 billion from the discussions that they had and agreed in principle again with the bilateral creditors. And then he's talking about some $8 billion that will be saved from this agreement they've reached with the bondholders, international bondholders. But if you look at this specifically, what the bondholders are forgoing and what we expect to save, there's a slight difference there. So they are forgoing $4.7 billion.
Yeah.
And then this will provide some cash flow for us, a savings of $4.4 billion. But let's be clear, this will be for the period we are still under the IMF program. So this is ending 2026. So there is the anticipation that beyond the IMF program, savings will continue because the bonds that we are talking about stretch all the way to 2030s. And that's one of the clarifications that we'll seek pretty shortly. Now, let's talk about a very important issue that we are beginning to get some clarity about. We understand that there have been a series of meetings now between the government of Ghana, the IMF, and the various steering committees. What was the outcome?
So Evans, if you look at the arrangement that you're talking about, the meetings, there's the International Steering Committee of the Ad Hoc Creditor Committee of the International Bondholders. They hold about 40% of the Ghana's external debt. And then we also have the second group, which is the Regional Steering Committee of the regional, you know, bondholders. They hold about 15% of the outstanding international debt. That what we know is that if you look at these meetings and what has been agreed, the IMF is actually in line with this, and they believe that by the end of this month, when this program is taken to the IMF will agree with it, because the staff believe that this agreement is in principle with the parameters of the program.
And let's talk about something that's also very critical. It's similar to what we saw with the domestic debt exchange. Now that the agreement has been reached out with the two main international bondholder groups, government now must begin what they're calling the consent solicitation. That is getting the consent of the individual bondholders to this deal.
Now, this I read. It says, the agreement in principle contemplates a consent solicitation process to amend the bonds and an exchange offer for new series of bonds, just like what we had in the DDP, another DDP. So the formal launch of the consent solicitation is expected in the upcoming week, subject to agreement on definitive documentation.
Okay, so that's one of the things that government will need to conclude now. And the timelines giving is upcoming week. So we don't have clarity as to when that will begin, but they need to now take this agreement to individual bondholders, who must then accept or reject the offer. At the end of the day, you want as many people as possible to accept the offer. Then you can come to some conclusion that your debt burden has significantly been taken care of. But you also find in there some requirements that the international bondholders are placing on government now. One relates to the debt and the transparency with which government approaches and reports on our debt portfolio is going to become very critical going forward.
So definitely there's an obligation on the part of government to publish a certain, you know, public debt information on a semi-annual basis. So it means every 6 months, twice a year, government will have to publish this information to ensure transparency for the bondholders, to have that form of confidence that government is being transparent under this new deal.
And that is important. Plus, there's also a requirement that government must ensure that certain other creditors do not receive better net present value terms.
So here you are talking about the comparability of treatment, you know, option.
And that is important. But also, this all feeds into the next IMF board review, right, which is scheduled for 28th of this month. Because all this will come before the IMF, and as we now been told, this agreement is in keeping with the IMF program parameters.
So yes, over the past week, the government and representatives of the two steering committees that we made mention held constitutive, you know, IMF meetings with the IMF staff. And we are learning that the IMF staff have confirmed that the agreement is actually in principle with their comparability of treatment option, and it's comparable with their, you know, parameters under the program. But this assessment will have to be officially confirmed following the IMF board meeting this month for approval of the second review. So if everything is done, the final say will be by the IMF executive board when they meet this month.
Okay, and I want to bring in right now Professor Peter Kwarte. He's the director for Institute of Statistical, Social and Economic Research, ISSE, joins us on the line right now. Prof, thanks for your time here on Top Story.
My pleasure. Good evening to your discerning listeners.
Also joining me tonight is the ranking member on Parliament Finance Committee, Isaac Adongo, also joins me. Hello, Mr. Adongo. Thanks for time here on Top Story.
Thank you, and good evening to your listeners.
Prof Kwarte, give me your quick reaction to this announcement. We're expecting this formal announcement to come. It's now here. We know a bit more about this deal. How are you reading this?
Well, this announcement brings some level of certainty to the market, because we've been waiting for this for far too long. Many investors, both individual and corporate investors, have been waiting for this news. And, you know, uncertainty affects the financial market. Financial system doesn't like noise, it doesn't like uncertainty. And so for me, it clears the way for many things to happen. More inflows may come in. It also will clear the way for people to invest properly, and also it would certainly have some positive effects on the exchange rate and by extension inflation. So there's some certainty. Apart from that, we could talk about other benefits that this will bring. But of course, we also have to sign a caution that we shouldn't celebrate this and go, you know, and spend beyond reasonable limits and be back to where we have been in the past. So it's not much as it's good news for Ghana. We also have to be responsible going forward.
You listen to the finance minister there, it's very clear that we are making a savings of 10 billion. That has been questioned, by the way, considering that for the bilateral deal that we signed with, you know, the bilateral creditors, it is deferred till 2026. So you pay it in full. Is that a view you share too, that the savings that we are talking about of $2 billion, for example, from the bilateral creditors may not be exactly what it is?
Unfortunately, I don't have the figures to confirm this, but whatever the figure is, there is going to be some savings, and that savings is certainly going to be help us release some funds to other critical areas. A lot of roads have been, you know, have stalled. A lot of projects have stalled. So there's going to be savings. It's positive news for Ghana. And I think we should ride on the back of this. But we have yet to get the fine details and yet to confirm these figures.
And Mr. Adongo, is this something that you expect now that we are almost at the end of the road now with the restructuring of bilateral and commercial creditors? You expect it to come before Parliament for scrutiny and approval?
Well, the truth is that the whole IMF program should have come to Parliament by now. I don't know why they decided to avoid that. But this is an international business transaction from which the Article 1815 makes it clear that it requires parliamentary approval. We are already receiving some monies in reliance on that agreement without the Parliament of Ghana having approved such a business transaction. And I don't know why they did that. But let me say that I listened to the finance minister and I was scandalized. You are celebrating the fact that you have received a certificate that clearly declares you as a bankrupt country. You are celebrating a bankrupt certificate. Who celebrates that? Who celebrates the fact that it is now clear and crystallized that you are a man of straw, you cannot pay your debts? And you're celebrating that and saying that on the basis of that bankruptcy status, you are better than the previous government. How do you make that comparison? The moment you declared that you were bankrupt, you couldn't pay your debt, and you were going around begging the people to forgive you your debt, several aspects of comparisons of the two economies cease to exist. We could no longer compare debt. We can no longer compare rate of debt accumulation. We can no longer compare debt to GDP because you simply don't have any. Okay? One of the biggest challenges that any economy faces is the ability to keep your sovereignty. And your sovereignty is what the people rely on in order to trust your country and give you loans. You entered into agreement with people, took their money, and they had the trust that your government will fulfill that. You went back to them and said, I was deceiving you, there's no way I can pay you. And you are celebrating that now and comparing that to a government that remained and kept our sovereignty intact. A government that consistently serviced its debts. A government that grew the economy after paying its debt and servicing its international debts. A government that was able to still stabilize the city upon the fact that it was still meeting its external debt obligation and foreign exchange requirements to meet those obligations. You are not doing that. What is going to happen now is that the debt that you were supposed to pay, your debt service, you are simply going to keep it. You are not going to pay. It's not as if they are bringing you any new money, but you are not going to pay. And you remember that the conversation is around when those payments are going to be made. Those payments are going to be made by a different government. You are not going to pay those debt. You will not be in government in 2025, 2026, 2017, 2027, up to 2029. And yet you are piling up debt and postponing payments to a future government. I expect that we should be announcing an aggressive program to make sure that those monies that we are saving are used to build buffers in the sinking fund, and make sure that Ghana has those resources available when the debt falls due, yeah, so that we are able to save it.
Yeah, Mr. Adongo, you talk about savings. I mean, isn't that why, considering that where we are coming from, the black hole we're in, this is at least something worth mentioning, considering that it places us back on the path to growth. The bondholders themselves talk about taking a cut of $4.7 billion and giving us a cash flow of $4.4 billion within the IMF program period. That's certainly a positive thing, isn't it? Hello, Mr. Adongo.
Yeah, you said
the bondholders talk about how much cut they are taking because of the successful negotiations that Ghana has led with them, $4.7 billion, and then an additional providing a cash flow now from what we are talking about, a relief of approximately $4.4 billion. Isn't that worth celebrating?
Well, I don't know what that is. If you decide as a country to declare yourself bankrupt, there's nothing to celebrate. In fact, a man of straw has nothing to celebrate. You are a man of pity. You cannot be trusted. You have simply come to say that, yes, even though we promised you, we took your money, we misused the money, and we are here, we can't pay you. How do you celebrate that? The cost to the country is the perpetual damage to the image of our country in the international capital market. That cannot be quantified. That initial savings that you are calling is at a point where, as a result of your misconduct, the capital market is wary of you and has closed the market on you. And you cannot be celebrating this one. You cannot be celebrating this level of disgrace and humiliation of your...
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Country. Unless otherwise you don't understand what that means. But if a whole country, you know, when you were in school, I'm sure you were taught that government debt is, what do you call
risk-free.
It? Risk-free. Were you not taught that government debt is risk-free?
Risk-free, yeah.
They've come to reverse all that principle. Today, it is much riskier to give money to government than to give it to Isaac Adongo. What does that give you? The things that you learned in school. This is the only government now in our lifetime that has taught us that government debt is not risk-free after all, and that government can be more careless and reckless than anybody else. And that is what has brought us here. Today, we are celebrating people that we have gone to beg with cap in hand to forgive us our debts. Is that the level of celebration from people who told us that it was actually a crime to go to the IMF? And that going to IMF epitomizes incompetence. What this tells us is that they were not even qualified to be on the program. Without going to declare themselves bankrupt, they were not qualified to have an IMF program. Can you remember any government in our history that ever went to IMF and they were not qualified to receive funding unless they went back and begged their creditors to forgive them their debts? Can you ever remember?
Mr. Adongo, please stay with me. There's something you raised that I want to pick the thoughts of Professor Peter Kwarte on. Prof, he raised the point about the savings you're making right now, putting it in a buffer. because we anticipate that 2 years down the line, after 2026 at least, we will resume servicing our debt. What do you make of that?
Yeah, the point has been made time and time and again that we ought to create a sinking fund or an escrow account, whichever name you call it, because all the debts have been restructured and they ought to be paid. You cannot wait till maturity date before you start looking for money. So if you're making savings now, you could decide to put part in the sinking fund, and as you grow the economy, I think it's better to also use part to grow the economy, make some savings, and put this in an escrow account or sinking fund, and be able to plan and service the debt. In addition to that, we ought to ensure some fiscal prudence. That is why we call for the Fiscal Responsibility Act to be reviewed and ensure that we stay within reasonable limits. We'd also have to set a cap on our debt ceiling to match the ECOWAS level at least. So it comes to when it's time for repayment, we are certainly ready to pay. So we don't always go back asking for restructuring, asking for debt forgiveness. It's not the best. It creates a lot of uncertainty on the minds of investors, on the minds of people. But having said that, I don't think Ghana is the only country in this challenge. There are several, or quite a number of African countries facing these debt issues. It's just that we think we could have managed things slightly better than we did. But nevertheless, we were faced with COVID, we were faced with other external shocks. Other countries also faced it. And we find ourselves in this precarious situation. But the good news is that we're gradually reducing our debt levels. We are gradually seeing some certainty on the market. And I think we should ride at the back of this, given that the economy is also growing at a fairly decent rate. So based on that, we should look forward and be able to manage the economy properly. We should learn from our mistakes. I think we made some mistakes in the past, but that shouldn't stop us from moving forward, from growing the economy, from ensuring fiscal prudence, for ensuring that we don't accumulate debt. If we borrow at all, we should channel most of these funds into productive activities. We should not or never borrow to consume. That is not the best way to use borrowed funds.
Professor Peter Kwotu, thank you very much. Mr. Adongo, do you expect now, Parliament is in session, now that agreements have now been reached in principle, the IMA board sits on the 28th, do you expect to be briefed as Parliament on these agreements?
We expect the entire agreement to be laid, and all other agreements consequent to that original agreement should be laid. Not just briefed, they should be laid before Parliament for Parliament to do its oversight work and approve those transactions, so that they can receive the blessing of the people of Ghana. As it is now, these actions are being conducted illegally, particularly in violation of our Constitution, Article 1815. That has to be rectified immediately.
Thank you very much, Isaac Adongo. He's a ranking member on the Finance Committee in Parliament. And talking about this agreement that we're learning a bit more about, I want to bring in Mark Bidwa Bwaji, the CEO of the Ghana Chamber of Commerce and Industry. They've been very concerned about the negotiations because of its potential to affect investor confidence in the country. He joins me right now. Mr. Bidwa Bwaji, thanks for time here on Top Story. So we're getting a bit more about this agreement, huge savings. If you're limiting yourself strictly to what is in the document we've cited, some 4.4 billion relief to Ghana, but also the potential for this now to help with the investor confidence. What's your own take as far as industry is concerned on the back of these agreements we've reached, both with our bilateral and commercial creditors?
Well, for me, I think it's a good news. One thing that we have been complaining about is the uncertainties that we have in our economy. And this has been, the uncertainties have been absent for quite some time now. So for every rational investor, they will sit down and wait and see what will happen. So those who possibly would have wanted to invest in the economy will now be sitting down on the fence and looking at whether the principals and interests of those who have already invested and they are going through the restructuring will be paid. So once we are certain about it, of course, it means that any rational investor will now have a positive view about our economy and now we'll be able to take a decision on whether to invest or not. But of course, we have those who are also risk-averse individuals or investors who, in spite of this positive news, will look out for options. Because once you go through a restructuring, it means that there is something fundamentally wrong. It means that we are not able to pay both our principal and also the interest. So for a risk-averse investor, there is any option anywhere in any country that he thinks that when he invests, he's going to get his principal and interest at the right time, then that individual will take up that decision. But it is good for us. I mean, we have people who call and were questioning what is happening in the economy, when are we going to see certainty and stability in the economy. I think those individuals will now think twice and decide to invest in the economy. The other good news is that, in fact, businesses have suffered a lot from the depreciation of the cedi. And this information will send a right signal that at least we've moved forward with that. Those who are keeping the cedi speculating that it will depreciate further so they can cash in, I think they will now take a second look at it and then bring in those cedis to dollars to stabilize the local currency. So I'm expecting that with this information, the cedi will have some positive results. It will stabilize and, if possible, appreciate in the not too distant future. At least in the few weeks, those speculators will now bring in their dollars that they have hoard or kept under their bed, and it will show up the supply of the foreign currency in the economy. So it's a good news for us as businesses. The certainty, that is what we require. I think we are going to get it with this information. So for businesses, we are happy. But as has already been said, it doesn't mean that we have been forgiven. It means that this money, the principal and interest that we have to pay, we have deferred the payment until later date, which means that we will pay one day. So whatever decision we are taking now, whatever policies we are taking now, we should have it at the back of our mind that in the next 2-3 years, these monies are going to be paid. We don't want to get to a situation where the city will suffer like the way we are experiencing now. The impact on businesses is just too much, and businesses are collapsing. So going forward, whatever benefits we have gotten, whatever relief that have come out of this restructuring, I think we should put it into good use. We should look at the productive sector. This is the sector that will help us to generate the revenue to be able to pay for the loans that we have taken. Where do we invest the loans? If we take a loan from the Eurobond market, which is a commercial facility with a high interest rate, and if you don't invest it in the revenue-generating sector, we always find ourselves in the situation that we are in now. Mm. We borrow from the Eurobond market and invest in businesses that will not generate the revenue for us, so we are not able to pay. So going forward, I think we have learned lessons. Whatever relief that we have gotten, we should put it into good use. You should look at the agriculture sector.
Yeah, and that's definitely questions that we'll be asking of the Finance Ministry once we get to interrogate the details a bit more. Mark Bidu Abuaji, thank you very much. He's the CEO of the Ghana Chamber of Commerce and Industry, raising a few questions, but also giving us the thoughts of industry on the back of a major announcement in the last couple of hours that agreement with our international bondholders has been reached in principle, awaiting the June 28th meeting of the IMF board. Newsnight now.
And welcome to Newsnight. Tonight, Attorney General Godfred Yeboah-Dame in Cares Royal for Opposition NDC, who are tearing into him over the ongoing ambulance procurement trial after the AG described the NDC's claims against him as lies and deception.
2 days when we started our cross-examination of the person who was spreading all those lies, you see how the matter is going. Their case has crumbled. As the president will say, case now turns to.
Instead of him demonstrating humility and apologizing to the people of this country, he's out there engaging theatrics and sophistry. Who is telling a lie?
We have details plus here from a legal practitioner on whether the Attorney General speaking about the testimony of a witness in an ongoing trial borders on misconduct. Also tonight, Tamale High Court orders Kabiru Mahama from holding himself as NPP candidate for Wale Wale as resolution talks break down nearly 6 months after the election. We'll get to hear from the aggrieved Dr. Kabiru, who is praying the case will be expedited.
The grant of such a relief interlocutory injunction will disadvantage me and will cause irreparable damage to my cause, as it were, in trying to represent the New Patriotic Party.
And as the finance ministry gears up to bail out customers of the banking sector cleanup, some victims of the financial sector reforms recount unnerving stories of how they had to sell their properties and take up low-paying jobs in order to survive.
I don't want to mention the specific, but trust me, my car's bad.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.